Hallelujah. Open up to Romans chapter 14. And this is a chapter that we hardly ever preach out of, but we should preach out of. The Lord's instructions, and by the way, we're going to get into the face-to-face things tonight. This is the next in that series. But he wants to preface it with something. The Lord's instruction to Pastor Dave, the reason he came off the road, were called to a revival of doctrine, truth, soundness of mind, and family. Now that family thing includes a lot. Okay? We've got every level of family. Your own personal family, family of the prayer center, family of all those that are in fellowship with the prayer center around the world. But ultimately, it's the family of God. And in any big family, you've got grandparents, sometimes great-grandparents, and parents, children, toddlers. Boy, we think it's so cute right now watching Lily toddle. She doesn't crawl anymore. She just toddles everywhere, you know. Of course, we just love it. Thank God I got a large memory stick for Sue's camera. Thank God forever. But then you got little babies freshly born in the kingdom that probably love God maybe as much as you do. But they're little babies. And little babies make messes. God loves them, and you better be careful how you treat them. Nobody wants to come in and mistreat Lily in my presence. They don't want to do that because thunder will come. And in repentance, much later. God's not bringing this revival of doctrine so we can be know-it-alls and better than thou. Amen. Got that? Amen. And I'll tell you right now, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. It's more important that you pray than that you listen to tapes. Did I say that out loud? See, I've got an hour. Okay. What should I do? I've got an hour. Should I pray? Or should I? Now, of course, you can pray while you listen. Okay. But I'm just trying to make a point. If it's one of my messages, if you're thinking, I got an hour, I can listen to Gary's message, or I can pray. I'm telling you right now, pray. Hopefully, my messages come from him that you're praying to. That you're allowing to pray through you. Now, the reason for that is this here, Romans 14. And I don't know why he wanted to give this little warning. But apparently he thinks it's necessary at this juncture in our walk. Said, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he can eat all things. Another, who is weak, who is what? Now, don't get it mixed up. Paul plainly says this person's weak. He's immature. He thinks he can only eat vegetables. Did you get offended right there? Shouldn't. I'm not offended at all. But some people, you know, if you choose to eat vegetables, if you want to be a vegetarian for health reasons, man, more power to you. I'm asking you not to put that on me. And I'm asking you not to make a religion out of it. And I'm asking you not to say God requires it. Because there you cross the line. Okay? But even if you say that, I will receive you. And I'll be nice to you and treat you like family. We'll talk about stuff where we can't agree. Because my real goal is to get you in prayer if I have to pray with you. Because if I can keep you praying, you'll grow out of that. Amen? Amen. But what I don't want to have the attitude of, I'm telling you, it's not very Christ-like. Well, you don't know nothing. Sit there, be quiet, shut up, and I know everything. Who are you anyway, you worm? You better not talk to my granddaughter like that, I'm telling you right now. I don't appreciate it. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. We're all his children. You got that? Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. But you mean even if he thinks he can only eat vegetables? Yeah. If he keeps praying, he won't think that forever. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, he eats to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. Sue, how many times have you seen me? Just as I lift that big old slug of ham to my mouth, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you for this ham, Lord, I thank you. Bless it in Jesus' name, Lord. So he that eats, eats to the Lord, and he gives God thanks. Boy, you got that right. And he that eats not, to the Lord he's eating not. He thinks he's pleasing God. And he gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. Now, we could go on with this whole chapter, and that's not really the lesson for tonight. He wanted to throw in a little caution. He did it during the worship. I didn't even know he was going to do this. Plant the seed in their minds. This revival of doctrine is not to make us in any way superior. The idea is to make us more of a slave to a body of Christ that desperately needs the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. I feel a release on that. You got that? All right, we're going back to the face-to-face things now. Turn over to John somewhere. We'll find it in a minute. That's the right book, though. I want to get your mind going down this path again. We're teaching on these face-to-face instructions again after 10 years. Because you learn a few things after 10 years walking in something. Plus, one of my instructions is to teach the body of Christ. You'll read in there, he plainly tells me, I want you to teach others how to do this. So I've been endeavoring to do that for 10 years. If you go to my website, you'll find all kinds of tape series on instructions from heaven. How to hear from God. On and on, and how to follow Jesus. On and on and on. I've endeavored to teach those things. But now, he wants me to preface even tonight's lesson with this. If you never get to the place where you hear him, I think it's better to know what's going on. Hallelujah. But you don't have to know. If you pray, he'll still set your feet on his plan and his plan only for your life. And you'll still wind up making decisions and not even know why you made them. Till you later on, you'll see his wisdom in it. Amen? You got that? So don't quit praying. No matter whether you ever hear this like this or not. But he did tell us back in John 14, looking at verse, let's start, I want to do 18, but let's back up just a little bit. Verse 16. And again, Jesus is about to leave the planet. He's been leading the disciples for 3.5 years. They have forsaken everything to follow him. They've seen miracle upon miracle, but he was always the boss. He was the Lord. He told them what to do on a daily basis. We're going here. We're going there. We're going to do this. I'm going to send you out to pray. I'm going to send you to get the donkey. I'm going to send you to do that. Now he's leaving. And they're going, well, how in the world are we going to follow you if you leave the planet? Well, he's explaining to them how the lordship, his lordship, is going to still come to them. No longer will it be his mouth to their ear. It's going to come from his mind, but it's going to be delivered by the Holy Spirit to their spirit. And what the face-to-face communication is about is you being able to discern that communication, that same communication with your soul, the part of you that communicates, the part of you that reasons. Okay. So he says here, I will pray in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. And here's the verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now that word comfortless is actually the Greek word O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, orphanos. I will not leave you as orphans. He used that word particularly on purpose. Orphans have no one to guide them. Orphans have to find their own way through a lost world. Orphans don't know where their provisions coming from day to day. Orphans are abandoned. They're alone. He says, I'm not going to leave you like that. And that's what, you know, if the man you've been following for 3.5 years tells you he's going away for good, don't you feel abandoned? He says, don't worry about it. I will come to you. See how he says that? I will come to you, but I'm coming to you by the agency of this other comforter. And he is the Holy Spirit. He continues to teach him there. Now, the most common request, I mean, you know, anyone that's in these prayer lines here or anywhere else, it's not just at the prayer center, it's everywhere we go. There's all kinds of prayer requests, okay? There's things for healing and marriages and jobs and all kinds of stuff, and that's fine. But still yet, the most common request that we get all the time, I need direction. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what he wants me to do. I have like 2 or 3 things in my mind. I'm not sure which. You know, and it can concern anything. It could be your marriage. It could be your ministry. It could be a job. It could be all kinds of different things. And that direction is one of the primary functions for which the Holy Spirit has been sent. So you won't be an orphan. I mean, if you don't know which way to go, and you're kind of an orphan. But the Holy Spirit has been sent, so you wouldn't be an orphan. But the church, for 2,000 years, has been very lacking in teaching the body of Christ how to receive the direction that comes from the mind of Christ by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And we are here to remedy that. That's part of Dave's calling in the earth. And part of my calling is part of the 3 woven cord here to get this done. So, some of the things we've already learned, and I've been having you confess these. I don't think I'm going to do it because I want to get into some new things. Yeah, you're going to do a few of them. It's good for you. The first night I read from the shortest one of all, it's called I Am Your Friend and Counselor. It's the first day that I heard him in my intellect where he is communicating in that same place within me, where he creates the prayer language when you pray in tongues. It's that same place. And I began to hear him in my known language. And it's less than a page long. And out of that one page, just that first day, that first brief encounter, I wrote 15 confessions. 15 things that we need to get our mind renewed to. So it's good for you. You mind repeating them again? Say after me. God loves me. God is eager to communicate with me. My Father wants to take me by the hand and lead me as His child. He'll guide me safely through every dark and forbidding way. There is no reason to fear. There's no lack of safety for me. The Holy Spirit is my friend. That means God is my friend. The Holy Spirit is my counselor. That means God is my counselor. He teaches me revelation knowledge. And He teaches me about my calling. Now, this is a faith statement. I trust God completely. I trust His counsel completely, even if the whole world disagrees. My mind is now learning things from another world. It's called the realm of the Spirit. I am always welcome in the Lamb's room of fellowship. Great days are ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. He didn't say that, but I said that. The best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. And it is too. So what we've been endeavoring to do is revisiting these face-to-face instructions. And the first one that we did was called Follow Thou Me. The last one that we did is called His Path Only. And that one was based on the face-to-face document called Without Preconceived Notions. We pretty well covered it last time, except for one little area that I want to make sure you get, because it has to do with direction. And then the next one really has to do with direction. Yes, sir. All right, now the Holy Spirit has been sent to do what? Guide us into all truth. Can you get the picture? He's come to take you like by the hand, lead you down the path, bring you the mind of Christ. If you have questions, you're supposed to be able to ask and get answers. Wouldn't that be something? Ask and get answers? Anyway, we'll get into all those things as the series continues. Now, I'm going to read you this part from page 2 of that. This one is called Without Preconceived Notions, and we just barely touched on it. He says, know and understand. Now, this is the Holy Spirit talking to me. By the way, I better say it again. We have now put, not only are all these in written format at the website, but they are also in audio format at the website. You can download them as individual MP3s for your iPod, or we have them there as 4 CD length MP3s that you can download and burn so you can listen in your car on the CD player. Okay, that's www.garycarpenter.org, and I believe they also have them at ictus.net. End of commercial message. Well, commercial, they're free. You can't afford them, right? Y'all know that? Okay, end of that, and back to this. He says, no one understand that I, that's the Holy Spirit, I receive and answer questions regarding precise knowledge required to take action. Now see, you're going to have to judge that. Is that true or not true? If it's true, then the day should come when you don't need to get in that prayer line. Because the Holy Spirit is just as much with you as He is Pastor Dave. Holy Spirit is just as much. He's walking with you as close as your breath. It's pretty close. The alternate word for spirit, pneuma, the alternate rendering is breath. And the reason for that, He's that close. He is just like the breath. He's that close. One day I remember when it happened. Sue remembers it too, I'm sure. We'd been here for a few years. And boy, in those early days, we couldn't. Are you kidding? Trying to hear God. Man, I don't care if Dave called a line for a hangnail. We got in it. And hoping that he'd have a word for us. We watched him at the conference, you know. I don't know what Dave thought. I don't know whether he thinks, you know, well, if we get 5 ministers praying, it'll shorten the time. So he gets, you know, he could get Jim Martin and Bronk and me and Sue and whoever, Christy, I don't know, whoever. It doesn't shorten the line. I was watching the people. They just go from one to the other to the other. And I know part of it, they're wanting to receive impartations and all. But I know another part of it, they're just hoping maybe the Lord will say something to me. Get a word. Well, and that's not wrong to do. But I remember the day. Remember when Dave said it? We'd been getting in those lines, and thank God. I mean, again, in any house, there's grandparents all the way down to little babies. And boy, God would just spoon feed us through Dave. We'd come up, we've had a bad week. We really need to hear. We wouldn't say anything like that, but you know, in the spirit, I'm sure that's what we look like to God. You know, I need my lollipop. Can't you give me a lollipop, God? And he did. And Dave would speak something very comforting and edifying and assuring. We'd just go out and, yeah, God loves me. Can't wait till next week. Come back again. Oh, God. But I remember the day when Dave said, he said to us in a line, he says, I'm not going to be prophesying to you much anymore. The Lord says you become accountable now to hear His voice for yourself. Yeah, we're going. Sue says we went, oh, rats. That's a bunch of crap soup as far as we're concerned, yeah. I like Greg. That's Greg. That's courtesy of Mr. Greg. And I just love it. It's so appropriate, Sue says, in so many situations. It's so appropriate. Well, we didn't want to hear that, but see, it's really, you've got to have that. What are you going to do if He sends you to some little island somewhere to evangelize and they don't even have telephone yet, much less internet? Well, you better learn how to hear God. And it doesn't have to be that. You just need to hear God anyhow. What if we had a world full of believers that were walking side by side with Jesus? receiving their instructions from Him. That is exactly the role of the Holy Ghost. That picture is not way out there. That's what He calls normal. Where we're walking the same way the first disciples walked, daily getting our instructions from the head of the church. Only now it's not from His mouth, His literal mouth to our literal ear. It's from Him, His whatever He's saying in heaven. He speaks from heaven. The Holy Spirit hears that, and then He reveals to you what the Lord is saying. But for all practical purposes, it's like you and the Lord walking down the trail together in this life, and Him accomplishing the Father's will through you. God, we've hardly heard that gospel. The whole church hasn't heard anything like that. Well, anyway, in the course of this, then, He says, no one understand that I receive and answer questions regarding precise knowledge required to take action. Questions such as, when? Where? How? These questions I answer. Now, He says, I do not always receive and answer questions concerning the motivations of Him who sent you. That's a real polite way of saying, I don't always tell you why. I'm just going to make up an example, but it's a good one. We've had similar. He may tell you, now maybe you're very near to the place where your month is exceeding your money. Anyone ever have more month than they had money? You know, but it's close, but you've still got more money than you have month, but it's close. And the Lord says, well, you know that $110 you got? Yeah. I want you to take 100 of it and give it to so-and-so. When, Lord? 2012? When? No, right now. In fact, I want you to get in the car now. I want you to go take it now. And you already got the what. You've already got the who. You've already got the when. Do you need any more to take action? You don't really need any more. Now, our tendency is, because especially if they live in a bigger house, drive a better car, wear better clothes, and you know they make twice the money you make. There's a tendency in us to go, why? Now, sometimes He'll answer that. Sometimes He doesn't answer that. It really depends a lot on your level of maturity. If you tend to be a talebearer, if you've not been purged of gossip, He's not probably going to share much of that kind of stuff with you. Refer you to Sunday's message, which we call false accusers and discouragement. But anyway, all you really need to know is what, when, and how, isn't it? Most of the time. Sometimes where. Where are they? Or what, you know, where do you want me to do this? A friend of mine tells about a move he made, and he heard God partially. See, you can hear some of these and not hear all of them. And he said, I knew the Lord wanted us to make a move from one state to another state. And I basically had everything correct except the when. And years later, I could look back on it and see that I was 1 year early. I didn't get the when just right. And that when cost my family $100,000. And we never did get it back. So it's good to stay and get. Now, why do we not get most of that information? Well, he says right here, I read this to you last time. My people don't seek my counsel. They don't seek it directly. And they don't seek it as if I was real. Okay? But He answers those questions. He doesn't always tell you why, but sometimes He will. So then He goes on to part two of this. He says, you have not yet understood the requirement of immediate action based upon my instruction. For your enemy is not stationary. Your enemy is not inactive. Obedience without question regarding motives is required, says the Lord. Although I will answer precise questions regarding method to provide you with accuracy of knowledge for action's sake. Then he says, the two most common reasons for failure and disaster in my body are these, and I read one of them to you. It says, my people do not seek my counsel. They don't seek it directly. Now, that's That's a step away from the prayer line. That seeking it that way is indirectly. You're hoping Dave can hear. You're hoping we can hear. And if you're a little, if you're like us, wah, he will. But if you've been at the prayer center for years and years and years, you need to seek his counsel directly. You need to practice Dave's tape set, doing what's on there, the one called Distinguishing God's Voice, because he's not a respecter of persons. He's not doing something for Gary that he won't do for you. And get to the place where you can hear him directly. Now, it doesn't always come in face-to-face form. That's one way. It's just one way. Sometimes it still comes by dreams. Sometimes I'll pray and God will give Sue the answer. You know, a lot of times that happens. Again, today we had another example. Listen, God doesn't pair you up with people for no reason. He's told us many times, you know, you are one ministry with two manifestations. Saw it again today. She has gifts and anointings and things that God does through her. There's just no way I can operate in that. Yet I have things, how he uses me, that is not the same way for her. But together we make a pretty good team. Now, right on the other hand, okay, now this part we're probably going to take off the tape. But on the other hand, I probably drive her crazy a lot of the time. I mean, this woman has to, I'm at home all the time. Nearly all the time. Because my office is in the third bedroom of our house. You know? See, so Sue has had to endure tremendous extremes. While I was driving trucks, I was never at the house. And she's going, oh God, oh God. When am I going to have a husband that's home with me? Answered that prayer. Now I think sometimes it's like Mom used to pray about my dad. My dad's a very active man, you know, but if he's cooped up all winter when he was healthy, you know, strong, right about the end of February, she's going, oh God, send the warm spring weather and give O.R. something to do. Get him out of the house. Well, I'm sure sometimes, I mean, you know, Sue, I'm there all the time, big part of the time. And we're you know, we're people. There's no halo follows any of us around. Now, right on the other hand, if somebody needs help, man, the first place, if I'm in a ministry situation, I'm first place I look, where's Sue? Because I know that she can hear things and intercession will come on her and things will happen with her that just won't happen with me there alone. Okay? Anyway, that we could teach a whole bunch right there. Yes, sir. He said I still didn't say it. Just because your spouse sometimes drives you crazy doesn't mean God didn't put you together. I didn't get near enough amens right there. Everyone's afraid to amen. All the married people, I need amen in that. Get home, I'll have to pay the price for that. I ain't not about to amen that. Okay, I understand that. The second most common reason for failure and disaster, first, they don't get counsel from him. Secondly, when they hear my counsel, let's say you graduate, you hear him. Well, then they often delay past the point where deliverance would have come. Your enemy is not stationary. Your enemy is not inactive. I'll never forget when Tim McFall was here. It was one of the best messages I ever heard. He said, you need to know this. How many of you listened to the tapes enough to know who Tim McFall is? Oh, man. Tim's funny. I like Tim. He's funny. Tim and Dave started out kind of together up in Oregon, you know, but then Tim was having his meetings and Dave was having his meetings and they wasn't seeing each other all the time. So every now and then, you know, Dave would run into a situation where somebody would come and say, I want you to know I went to the meeting and I got healed of Zama. I got healed of this. And Dave's approach, this is the way he teaches it. He says, so I'd go, well, which one of my meetings did you get healed in? And he go, weren't your meeting at all. It were Tim McFall's. Tim come here one time and he was really funny. I really enjoyed his messages. But he was saying, the one thing you need to know about the devil, he is a persistent cuss. He has a 6-hour plan, 6-day plan, a 6-week plan, and a 6-month plan, and a 6-year plan if he has to go that far to derail you from God's path. Boy, you need to know that. So, you do know that the devil doesn't understand what's being said while you're communicating in other tongues? You do know that. If you don't know it, you need to know it. He also doesn't know it when you hear it in your mind. He can't read your mind. But he does know it as soon as you share it with somebody. Now, at that point, you best be obeying the Lord. Because now the enemy is aware of your instructions. Whatever the Lord told you, get with it before the enemy has time to launch a counter-assault. Now, later on here, the Lord's going to tell you, in fact, I think it's the next paragraph. He says here, he has an answer for that too. He says, now be encouraged to know this, those that seek my voice and seek my counsel on a regular basis, it's to them that I show things to come. And they can even take measures and steps ahead of time as I show them troop movements of the enemy. I show them ahead of time. I give them counsel on what to say and what to do in order to thwart the plans of the enemy even before he can get his troops into place. You like that? Makes me want to go pray in tongues and listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. So he said, for these reasons, I say again, learn obedience without question and learn obedience without delay. Now, this is the part I didn't get to talk about either much last time. He says, you should know that I give complete counsel. What general would send his troops into the fray without sufficient orders from the command post? Orders that would render the enemy powerless. When you know not sufficiently those things required to take action, then know and understand that you have not yet heard my entire counsel. Now, 10 years later, let me elaborate on that. I had the idea when I heard that I would know every single detail, that anything that would ever happen, and nothing would ever surprise me again. That is not what he said. He says, no, you need to have enough information in order for you to be able to take action. That's what he's saying. You need the what, the where, the who, and the how. That's what you need. And if you don't have that, again, the illustration we normally use is this man was praying and he did hear the Lord. He accurately heard the Lord say China. So the Lord must have called him to China. He gathers up his family. They sell their house, sell all their possessions, go to China, spend 2 years as a missionary. They all get sick. They get beat up. Everything gets stolen over there. And in 2 years, he doesn't leave one person to Jesus. Winds up coming back off, back from China, gets back in his prayer closet and going, why, God, why did you send me to China? And the Lord says, I never told you to go to China. It was your wife's birthday. I wanted you to get her some china for her birthday. Now, that's a ridiculous story, but there is so much truth there. We'll hear one little part and run off. I heard God. Well, the reason he's coupling this up with instant obedience after you get the plan. But don't go off half-cocked with part of the plan. Don't move a year early. Don't jump out too quick. I feel led, Brother Gary, to quit my job and live by faith. Well, I'm probably not going to be led to feed you. I tell everyone all the time, I was not led to go full-time into ministry and leave my job. I had prayed 50, 60, 70 hours a week for almost 2 years. And I heard the Lord say, now, see if this sounds, see if you can notice the who, the what, the how, and the when. I think I can repeat it from memory. I'd take you right to the mile marker in Arkansas. It was the Lamar exit in Arkansas on Interstate 40. I was going right by that exit, and he said, this is your last trip as a truck driver. When you get back, give your dispatcher 2 weeks' notice. He will not require it of you, and you will be free to serve me full time. Does that sound like a feel led to you? A little gushy feeling. I feel led to quit my job. Oh, fooey on your feel led. Pray until you hear his voice. I mean, right there is the what, the how, the when, who I need to talk. Everything that I need to take action is in those couple of sentences right there. Did you have questions? About 10,000. I had about 10,000 questions, like Matthew 6 was my whole life right there. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? How are we going to clothe ourselves? You know, I had no lily faith at all. No lily faith, no other kind. You know, you called us out. It's just like the children in the... You called us out here to die. I know you called us out here to die. There's nothing, no water, nothing to eat. We went through our own wilderness and learned to drink from the rock. Thank you very much. He'll provide for you. There is a higher walk than, quote, I feel led. He'll talk to you. And you can get his complete counsel. Where at least you know what to do to take action. Now, he didn't answer every single question that I had. In fact, that was part of the problem. I kept trying to get him to answer all those questions. I was delaying. And I delayed for a long time, 10 months. It got me into big trouble, let's just say it that way. It is better to obey. And instant obedience. I should have just done it right then. I wonder how our life would have been different had I just obeyed what he said. Now that I know him 10 years down the road better than I did then, he already had the path laid out. Big part of our problem was me not trusting him. Anyway, okay, getting back to this. He says, come, sit, and listen until the counsel is complete. He's talking about epoxy your britches in a chair somewhere and pray and practice until you hear him. He says, I will not send you lacking. I will not send you without the plan. I'll not send you without precise instruction. I will not send you without that which is required to render a complete victory every time. There is no defeat in me, says the Lord, and there will be no defeat in you as you hearken to my complete counsel. Isn't that good stuff? So well, I've got part of it. I told Tim here recently, I said, because we've kind of finished one assignment and we're trying to get his direction on exactly what he wants to do next. And I told Tim, I said, Tim, I've got most of it. I think I've got about 80%. But I don't know, I don't have enough yet to take action, so I'm still praying until I do. Okay? All right, now we're going to go ahead just a little bit on the next one, and it's called Marking the Trail. And it's just so amazing to me now as I look back 10 years how his mind progressed from that one right into this next one. Now, why he chose to teach me this with this vision, he's going to use a forest a lot, a very dense forest where the trees... Have you ever been in a pine forest where the trees are so close you can almost stand at one trunk and reach over and touch another one? Just one, a really dense forest. In this vision, I was seeing the forest, and it's that kind. I mean, where it's dense. You can't see very far because the trees are just so many of them. You can't see into that forest very far from where you are. So in that previous one, he was talking about my direction. He was talking about getting precise instructions and getting complete counsel. And I'm going to read quite a ways into this one because there's a vision that he gives that you need to see it on the inside of you to help you understand how his direction comes. Now in this one place in here, he says, this is how my direction comes, set like a compass. How many of you would like that? Set like a, you know, let's say you feel like an orphan on a ship. Let's use a ship for a minute because they use compasses. It's a big world out there, and you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and you don't know which way to go. And you don't know whether how to set the sails. You don't know whether the Lord even wants. You don't know whether the Lord's going north, south, east, or west. You can't see the horizon. You don't have a clue. What if there was a way for the Lord to come, and your little compass suddenly would just spin, and then it would fix, and it'd go. You'd hear a voice behind you. This is the way. Boat you in it. You know, this is the way, walk you in it. But this is the way. That's the kind of direction. Isn't that what someone does who's come to lead an orphan? To lead a child so you won't be an orphan? Doesn't he come and, here, take my hand. I have the direction. Follow me. Okay. I'm going to read the vision. I'm sure we'll get into this next time too. But he says, be not wise in your own eyes, but learn to turn to me. I will lift you up where your eyes can see from my perspective, says the Lord. From that vantage point which is above, you can see the objectives, and you can see the entire picture. With earthbound eyes, you see obstacles as trees in all direction. With earthbound eyes, you spend your life in futility, cutting down trees all around you in an ever-widening circle, but with no direct path, with no direct goal, with no clear vision, and not knowing which direction is the path of the Lord for you. The enemy would have you continue your warfare with earthbound eyes. But when I give you eyes to see from above, from the throne's perspective, then you can see where you are, and you can see where you shall be. Did you get that? Then those obstacles that are in your path can be removed in a straight line. Yes, there are obstacles that will come down, such as reasonings, thoughts, imaginations, even things of the flesh that must go. But your progress will be meaningful and swift and with purpose as you allow me to lift you up and see the entire mission with heavenly eyes, eyes that see from above. This is part of my purpose, and this is part of my mission. This is a portion of what I do for the sons who serve the living God. See the vision that I am painting in your spirit right now, and I can just see it. I can see it today when I close my eyes. I could just see. Now, so to help you, it's a dense forest so packed with trees. It's pretty. It's a beautiful green. It's like a pine forest. But it's so dense, if you were touching one trunk, you could just about reach out and touch another one. Okay? It's real dense. So see the vision that I'm painting in your spirit right now. You see yourself in a vast forest with trees in all directions. But see now, as I lift you up higher and higher above the forest. And in this vision, I was just going up like in a helicopter, just going up, and I could see. He said, see that clearing up ahead, and I could see a clearing. Quite a ways up there, but I could see it. This is where the Lord desires for you to go next. Now that you see that direction, then my direction comes as a compass. You got that? So that you know the path, and you know which tree must fall next. That would be strongholds. That would be reasonings. That would be imaginations that have to be cast down. And which tree must fall after that, and which tree must fall after that. Your vision becomes single-minded now, not flailing away at obstacles in all directions, but rather now removing obstacles in a direct line, the shortest path to get you to the next clearing where the Lord desires for you to be. In that clearing there shall be water, there shall be refreshing, and there shall be increase of anointing. This is how my direction shall come. No more exerting effort in all directions, creating only a wider circle that leads to down no distinct path, but rather following my instructions, cutting away those obstacles that are on the direct path where the Lord desires you to walk. This is how my direction comes. This is why he told you to give heed and place the utmost priority on those things which I reveal to you. Those are the things that must be removed in order for you to apprehend that for which you have been apprehended. Listen to this next sentence. I will not have you working on vain things that pertain not to your call. Did you hear that? If you pray and start getting his direction for your path, and you start seeing the obstacles that you're going to have to deal with, you're going to quickly not have time to be judging everybody else. You're going to quickly not have time to be correcting everybody else either. You're going to be too busy on your own little project trying to obey what he's telling you to do. Man, I got to read that one again. He says, I will not have you working on vain things that pertain not to your call. I will have your energies directed towards those obstacles that remain on the direct path of his call for your life. Place the utmost priority and put first those things which I reveal to you. For those are the obstacles that must be removed to take you step by step from glory to glory into the image of him who birthed you. In words that you can understand, I say to you that for a season you are in a period of catch up. Now, not catch up like you put on a burger. He's talking about catching up. I'm behind. I'm catching up. Your actions and your activities have caused you to run far ahead of my counsel. Did you hear that? Doing so many things for the Lord, man. This needs doing. We'll do it. Here's an opportunity. We'll do it. Now, some of that's okay. There's a remedy for that. How many times have you heard Dave say, oh, the devil has a plan for you real zealous folks too? You know, the ones that, I'm going to, you know, me and Jesus, we're going to save the whole world and we're going to do it by Tuesday. Oh, yeah, he'll get you working on so many things. You don't have time to pray anymore. You don't have time to meditate anymore. Pretty soon, you're just, how did I get so far off of God's plan for my life? So he says, your actions and activities have caused you to run far ahead of my counsel. You have worked very hard, working in a circle, cutting and hitting on many trees. Yet when you look back to the center of that circle, you will say you really haven't traveled very far. Boy, was that ever the truth. Remember and never forget the futility of your own ways, says the Lord. If you will remember, you will not repeat it. What you think is the biggest stronghold problem in your life, and what religion thinks may be the biggest stronghold and problem in your life, when you get his mind, he says, no, it's not the tree I want you working on at all. Your real problem is this right here. Now, how much does Gary love you? I'm talking about you, prayer center. I don't know if I love you this much, but I love him this much. Because you need to know this. It's the only way I know to get it across. See, I've told you before, I smoked forever. Y'all know I got delivered from alcohol right away, but I smoked forever. Couldn't quit. I was smoking at the time that these came. You hear me? Couldn't quit. Hiding it. Sue and I'll edit that out. Everybody knows, Sue and I both smoked. And we were smoking at this time. Single-handedly, we kept the Febreze company afloat. Trying to quit, using the patch, using this, using that. One time I had a patch on each arm, chewing nicotine gum, and pulled over to have a cigarette. Now, if you would have asked me, Gary, what's the number one thing that needs to be dealt with? Well, I'd have said cigarette smoking. And if religion would have seen me, what would they have said? Same thing. They would have said, well, that's, and it needed to be dealt with. I'm not justifying that at all. Okay, I'm not saying that at all. But he's talking about doing one stronghold at a time. He's talking about what's the next thing. You know that he didn't, that was quite a ways down the road before he got around to that one. He did Oh, God, did he ever get around to it? He got around to it, all right. But in his mind, you'll see it here in a little bit. That wasn't what the biggest stronghold was. That wasn't the main thing that had to go first. You got to be careful. Don't listen to religion. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Don't even trust your own judgment. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Okay? All right. Let me back up three sentences. We got time for this, I think. So he says, I've been working in that circle. He says, yet when you look back to the center of that circle, you see you really haven't traveled very far. Remember and never forget the futility of your own ways, says the Lord. If you remember, you will not repeat it. Now, and he's talking about now that I'm spending this time praying and listening, learning to hear his voice. He says, now you have laid down the axe for a season, and you have come to lie down in green pastures and drink of these still waters. This is where I will feed your spirit with the very mind of Christ. God, did you hear that? This is where I will feed your spirit with the very mind of Christ. What's amazing to me is I wrote that, and I didn't even understand that. This is before the born-again trail, people. Good Lord. And to phrase it like that. He's good. I got to read it again. This is where, when you learn to receive from him, this is where he says, this is where I will feed your spirit with the very mind of Christ. He's talking about what David was prophesying in Psalms 23. This is the still waters and the green pastures. This is where I will refresh you in every way, spirit, soul, and body, with the refreshing of my counsel and the refreshing of my presence. Not just the counsel, his presence. You have now, in a new way for you, entered into my rest. Again, in words you can understand, I say to you, endure this season of catching up. For I will bring you to a place of being ahead of the game. During this process of giving you eyes that see from above and setting the course toward the next clearing which he has ordained for you, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits shall be so developed in you that there shall be nothing that takes you by surprise. You will not be asking me questions as you are today, such as, what shall I do about this present situation? Rather than that, you will sit and receive my counsel, and I will tell you, this is what is coming. When it comes, do this. That is a walk of a much higher degree of safety, and that is where I'll take you, says the Lord. Understand and know that the gifts, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts are for God's servants, whether those servants be son or slave. I give them, and I manifest them for God's servants. They are yours. Receive them by faith. Know they are yours. Say they are yours. And expect them all the time, not just in services. They are my gifts. They're free and they're yours. I have brought you slowly to this clearing on purpose, to give you time to reflect and to know and to understand that this is not his highest call for you. As he has spoken to you, you shall walk in manifested glory, but that requires the transformation to love. There are many clearings up ahead where you shall arrive as you follow my leadership, but this is the first one, for he desires now that the rescue of his sheep begin. Your responsibility is to not camp in this clearing, but use these gifts as tools as you progress to the next clearing. Each clearing will be the next level of the transformation to his image. Stop at no clearings. Take what you find there, incorporate it, and move on to the next one. And this shall be your method all the days of your life, says the Lord. Now, that clearing, what he's talking about, and we're about to wrap this up for tonight. See, I would have thought that it was, my problem was the smoking. I had other things too, by the way. I mean, there's other stuff you could pick. What is it? It's none of your business. I'm not asking about your stuff. That clearing, he plainly tells us here and also later, that next clearing, he wanted us to begin operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And on a regular basis, not once a year. not only in services. He wanted to start manifesting the gifts even when we're at the restaurant, when we're at Walmart, when we're with the kids, when we're doing whatever. And he said that there's obstacles between that, operating in the gifts, being aware of them and flowing in them all the time, and where you are now. Reasonings, thought processes, in my case, religious stuff I had been taught. Those trees have to come down. I'm going to deal with you now. But that next clearing up ahead, you're going to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Did we ever see it happen? We saw it all over the USA and all over the world over the next few years. Gifts of the Spirit of every... We'd never had a working of miracles like I want to see, like the kind that's coming. I've never seen a leg grow out yet. I've never seen several things. But, yeah, we haven't seen the maimed made whole. But, boy, we have seen cancers healed and all kinds of sicknesses. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Sue's really flows in that one. On and on and on. But still yet, there's things that have to be dealt with. How many of y'all think he might want to use us collectively in the gifts of the Spirit between now and Sunday? A lot more than he's using you now. Yeah, he wants to. Now, in between all these services, my hope is that you guys are practicing. If you haven't listened in a long time to that distinguishing God's voice, I recommend you do it again. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll close with this one. Real close friend of mine. Finally heard from God. When I say finally, he's been floundering now for about 2 years. He told me this story just this week. They had finished a certain assignment. It was overseas, him and his wife. They came back here. And it wasn't that, what's next? So he's praying to hear God. Okay, praying to hear. He only had one stipulation. There's only this one thing that I'm not willing to do. But anything else, God, I want to hear your will for my life. And it was a reasonable thing, what he said, you know. But just this one thing. But, Lord, I'm here to pray. Well, as long as, you know, he didn't know it at the time. But as long as he put that stipulation out there, he was blocking God's plan. Because it was right in the way. I mean, that stipulation blocked the plan. So now he's trying to hear, and his mind is searching. Your mind ever go searching? Boy, I'm telling you, I can have 19 paths and one, you know, they all look like God, you know. But that's when you're in that mode where you're not hearing him. Well, maybe I should do this and maybe we should pastor that. Well, maybe he called us over here. No, I'm pretty sure it's that. And also you'll find during those times is when a lot of people call and they think they have God's plan for you. Well, after about 2 years of floundering around, he finally goes, okay, got it. I'll remove that stipulation. Just what is it? And instantly, I mean immediately, within days, him and his wife both know it. It's exactly the same thing. But it's going to involve that very thing that he said, I won't do. Another friend of mine years ago finally got convinced. He was raised Baptist too. He finally got convinced that he should be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So his first prayer to God was like this. Well, God, I want the Holy Ghost, but I don't mind speaking in tongues. I just don't want to do it in public. Well, he got to come to get prayed for and never could receive. After a little while, his hunger says, well, okay, Lord, I'll pray in tongues, but only my close friends will hear me. Finally, he goes, okay, God, I want the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and I don't care who hears me. Just right away, man. Here you go. Well, now we're back to without preconceived notions, aren't we? This all flows together. It took a long time for me to see his line upon line, precept upon precept on building this. But it was important that you receive that whole image tonight of that forest. Can you see it? You know there's clearings up ahead for you, right? You're going to get to where you know that next clearing. And you can start removing those obstacles one at a time between where you are and where he wants you to be. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the leadership of your Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you have not left us as orphans. And Father, I declare that this message goes into good ground all around this earth. Father, I thank you for people that are rising up not to follow religion, but who want to follow you, Master. We thank you, Lord, that a maturity is coming to the body of Christ, that we can walk side by side with you, Jesus, by the agency of the Holy Spirit through a lost and dark world, but with the path lit in front of us. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen.